Well, good evening. Wow, it'd be a better night. Saw you pull up on your motorcycle there, Councilmember Williams. Looked like fun. I'm a little jealous. Welcome to the Monroe City Council meeting here for May 7th, 2013. At this time, I would like to call the meeting to order and ask that you take roll call, please.
Councilperson Gary.
Here.
Cutaback. Williams.
Here.
Camp.
Present.
Davis.
Present.
Gamble.
Here.
Hanford.
Here.
Student Representative Toronto.
Okay, please join me for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
A couple of things here before we get to the public hearing. First of all, Councilmember Cutaback is notified that she may be up to an hour late. Secondly, our internet website host, what's their name again?
Civic Plus.
Civic Plus is doing a system-wide, within their internal system-wide work tonight. And they're on the East Coast, and they've informed us that they'll be shutting down their system at 9 p.m. our time. So anything that you might have on, want up on the screen, pull it up now, because at 9 o'clock the website goes is going to be scheduled to shut down. But hopefully we may be close to finish by then, depending on how quickly it goes. On a personal note, I have a situation that I wanted to bring before council, and I had sought out some advice from our city attorney about four and a half weeks ago. Run into a situation similar to Councilmember Gamble, and that is that some of you may know that I was out of full-time work for about 16 months, and in April of this year, I accepted a position with the Aramark company. It was brought to my attention after that the city has a current contract with Aramark for services and maintenance of several floor mats and here at City Hall. The contract in question is a term of 36 months. It was executed in 2011, predating my own employment with Aramark by almost 2 years. For the record, my compensation from the company consists entirely of a salary that is not contingent in any manner upon Aramark's contract with the city today, nor in the future. The purpose of the statement today is to publicly and transparently disclose my employment relationship and to clarify that I will take part in no City of Monroe action involving the city's contract with my employer. To this end, I intend to recuse myself from participation in that portion of any City Council meeting during which Aramark's invoices are presented for payment approval. I'll be joining Councilmember Gamble in the lobby out of an abundance of caution. Also out of an abundance of caution, I'm also requesting the City Council designate the Mayor Pro Tem to assume supervisory responsibility over the city's contract with Aramark and to oversee all aspects of the city's executive and administrative functions with respect to the company. Any questions?
Thank you.
Okay. Moving on here, we have a public hearing this evening. What we're going to ask tonight is that we hold the public hearing this evening and hear from citizens' testimony, but we're going to move the resolution portion to next week.
Okay. I was going to say, I think 9 o'clock around here.
It's probably 9 o'clock Eastern.
Right.
Because
it's everything's down, so.
Okay, we'll
they said central, 11 p.m. central time is what they had said.
It's down.
Okay.
Do you want me to go make copies real fast of the packet?
If there's specific items that people want to review or have reviewed, absolutely.
I'm good with consent agenda. I mean, I read through all those. Some of the ones that might be nice. But, the other ones I was certainly going to be relying on being able to look at the notes.
I've already read through the consent agenda, so I don't have any questions on that.
Okay, well, if at any point a council member wishes to have a document, we will get that to you.
All right. Okay. All right, so the first public hearing this evening is extension of marijuana-related land use regulations. And I'm assuming that's Paul. No, Paul. Yes. Hello.
Thank you, Mayor. This public hearing tonight is being held before council takes any action to extend the current interim regulations that were adopted back in December. Those expire on June 4th. And the intent is to extend these regulations, these interim regulations, another 6 months, since the state has not pulled together the regulations and rules for the what is the legalized marijuana based on Initiative 502. So that's the purpose of this hearing. And after that, then you will be taking some action to extend this another 6 months. Questions?
No. Okay, we will open the podium now at this time to members of the public who wish to provide citizen testimony regarding use or extension of marijuana-related land use. Is there anyone?
Nobody signed up.
And is anyone wanting to discuss that this evening? Okay, then a motion from council to close the public testimony portion.
Second.
The motion was made by Councilmember Camp and seconded by Councilmember Williams to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing. Council, any questions of Paul? And if not, Paul, the recommended motion this evening would be?
To adopt the resolution approving, marijuana.
You'll recall the council has adopted an interim set of regulations, an interim ordinance governing marijuana-related land uses, and that interim ordinance is set to expire at the end of its six-month term, which is in early June. If state law, under state law, if you want to renew that for an additional six-month period, you're required to hold an additional public hearing and enter findings of fact in support of the renewal before the original interim ordinance expires. So tonight's council action is simply to take care of one of those requirements, which is the public hearing. You don't need to pass the ordinance tonight. You can delay that to a future meeting, and I think that's the council's the staff's intent, just as long as that ordinance does become effective before your June 4th expiration date occurs for the existing ordinance.
So no action needed at this time. All right. Okay, then. I will ask that a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Councilmember Gary. Did we vote on the last one?
We already did.
Did we vote on closing public testimony?
Oh, we didn't vote. We just had the motion.
Yep, we got the motion.
We have the motion on the floor.
Okay, so the first motion is close the public testimony portion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Second motion to close the public hearing has been made by Councilmember Gary and seconded by Councilmember Camp. To close the public hearing, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. On to the next public hearing, surplus utility and other equipment. Jacob?
Hi. State law requires that we have a public hearing prior to disposing of any surplus
equipment or fleet vehicles or anything else for that matter, owned by a public utility, and that's the purpose of the hearing.
Okay, do I have anybody signed up for that? No. Anybody in the audience tonight like to speak with regards to declaring utility fleet equipment and other equipment as surplus? Okay. And a motion to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's made by Councilmember Williams and seconded by Councilmember Hanford. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Right. Any questions for Jake this evening? Okay, and as we said, we'll bring the resolution back next week's meeting. Okay, with that said, then a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's made by Councilmember Hanford, seconded by Councilmember Gamble. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? At this time, we have set aside an opportunity for citizens to speak to City Council on any issue except any question or judicial matter subject to a public hearing. We ask that you limit for those speaking, limit your time to 5 minutes, and we'd also appreciate, for the record, name and address. I do have one individual this evening who has signed up, and that is Mr. Todd Johnson.
Hello, my name is Todd Johnson. My address is 20513 113th Drive Southeast, Snohomish, 92296. I also represent Speedway Chevrolet, located within the city, and L&J Enterprises Limited Partnership, which owns the real estate the dealership is located on. And I'm here today to talk about the sign ordinance. And first of all, I really appreciate the fact that you guys have taken your time and really considered this. I think it's a change of direction for the city that requires everybody to think long and hard about the implications over the course of time. And so I applaud you. I think it's a wise move to take your time. And I know you're not always in, you're not going to make everybody happy, and I completely understand that. But I would like to talk a little bit just about our piece of property, because I know that became an issue, I think, with the last council meeting, with respect to a sign code that allows for our particular piece of property, as well as other commercial pieces in our area, a 45-foot high sign requirement. I believe, if I understand correctly, that there was a motion made to reduce that to 35 at the last meeting. And I would still support, ask you to be willing to support a 45-foot high limit. And I think what I wanted to do is talk a little bit about the history real quick and just talk about why I think it makes sense. So quickly, back in 2002, when we first put this sign up, there was a provision in the code that allowed for exceptions to be made on height if the grade of the road is substantially different than the grade of the property. But it required us to go through a procedure and a hearing here on that site. And so I sat here 10, 11 years ago and went through that process. And at the result of that hearing, even though our property sits approximately 10 feet lower than the State Route 522 where our sign is orientated, that request was denied. And so as a result, we got no added height allowed, even though the road grade is about 10 feet higher than our piece of property. And so, and looking back at how this evolved, and I know there was probably a lot of discussion about how and why, but in my mind, my thought was to give us a 45-foot high sign is essentially the equivalent of a 35-foot high sign anywhere else in the city, which is what the code was trying to achieve because of the difference in grade. And I think that, it does, like I said, I'm glad that there was some hesitation and trying to get a better understanding of what the differences are between our property and other properties within the city and how to define a zoning or a sign code that's really going to reflect that. And I think that some alterations were necessary. And what I would suggest to council, respectfully, is that for signs that are in commercial districts that are along the 522 corridor that are intended to be to create exposure along 522, that some deference be given for the fact there is a significant grade difference between our properties and the state highway. How you do that, how you go about that, obviously it's going to come down to you guys making that decision. But like I said, I was comfortable with a 45-foot height limit because of the approximate 10-foot difference between the road grade and our particular piece of property. There are other ways that you can define that as well. You can go 35 feet above the road grade, and that might be a possibility as well. I think that you really need to look at how that might impact other pieces of property down the road. Obviously, when you consider that, because not every property along 522 is similar situated. Some of them, there's much greater distance to cover. And so I don't want to obviously suggest something that's going to create problems for you in the future. But I do think for this particular ordinance, I believe that it's fair and reasonable to give us an additional 10 feet as long as our sign is orientated towards 522. I completely understand and respect the position that if we had a sign that was orientated towards Main Street, there would be no reason for us to have a 45-foot sign, nor would we want one. So, and I don't know that that was clearly called out in the code before. It seemed like it allowed us, wherever we put our sign on the property, regardless of which road we elected to have our sign face, it would allow for 45 feet. I don't think that makes sense. So I guess I'm looking at you guys to try to come together with a decision that makes sense for everybody, and I really appreciate the time. I did have some pictures, but I ran into some technical issues. I don't know if they were on the same internet at the stores, but I wasn't able to bring those pictures. But I can make those available to you later. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't have anybody else signed up at this time, but as always, I'd like to open up the podium to members of the audience who would like to address council. Anybody? Okay. Seeing none, then we'll move on to the next portion of the agenda, and that is the consent agenda. I've asked that we pull item 2A. Councilmember Herring.
Motion to approve consent agenda minus item 2A.
Second.
Motion has been made by Councilmember Herring, seconded by Councilmember Hanford to approve the consent agenda minus item 2A. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Out of an abundance of caution, both Councilmember Gamble and myself will be recusing ourselves from the chambers and ask that Councilmember Williams proceed with the following action item.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion for consent agenda item 2A.
So,
second.
Okay. Motion's been made by Councilmember Camp, seconded by Councilmember Hanford. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0.
Item number one, we have one item this evening, that's the 2015 comprehensive plan update consultant selection process. Paul.
Yes, we brought this for you tonight to explain basically what we're up to and also solicit the possibility of a council member for the selection committee for the consultant. But we have advertised and issued this request for proposal, this RFP. Proposals are due on May 23rd, it's a Thursday, and I should say we've had quite a bit of interest in this from firms around the state, and we are giving preference to Washington-based and certainly Washington-experienced firms in this effort. But this comp plan update is a little unusual in that we've combined really three or four different efforts into one complete effort with this update. We have the 2015 comp plan, the update of the 2005 plan, but we're also doing an update of the 2007 transportation plan and an update of the 2008 parks and recreation plan. Usually those two follow separately after the comp plan has been updated and adopted, but this time we're combining, and we're also doing an environmental impact statement. So we're talking about, you know, a year and a half plus worth of work. But I think it's a great approach to do these together, since there'll be so much more consistency between them, and we can work with all of those really during the same time frame. But the RFP has the basics of the work program as to what we'd like the consultants to work through, and we're going to rely on whoever we choose to work with us to do a final, very detailed work program and schedule and so forth. But we are looking to put together a selection committee. I say proposals are due toward the end of this month. We'll make a short list, and we're planning interviews on June 20th. I would expect we'll interview 3, 4, 5 consulting firms looking for the right fit. And I'd be happy to take any questions about this RFP or what we're planning, and also, you know, have you consider whether you might send a council member as a part of this group, along with city staff, a planning commissioner, and a parks and recreation commissioner on this initial committee.
Councilmember here.
Thanks. If you're looking for a council member, I'm certainly interested in your space. So throw my name in that.
Any other questions? Paul, so no action tonight other than information, and you have at least one council member who's expressed some interest. We can have up to 3, possibly. I mean, that gets a little busy in the room, but
I think we'll have I think we'll have 7 with one council member, but certainly there's more, and there's also another option that if there's some other representative from out in the community might want on this selection committee. But I think the place to really get people involved as we get into this and start dealing with the issues. But we're looking for some good support on the selection committee so we can make a good choice.
Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I'm interested with the date. I've already looked at the date deadline. I'm in New Bedford, Eastern Washington that week, so.
Appreciate your interest.
I guess the question would be to council, any objection for Councilmember Gearing to participate, and then at any other time if somebody's interested, I guess just express that to myself or to Paul or to Brad, Gene, and we'll let the rest of the council members know. So, all right.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. We are looking at final action, and this one is with regards to Chapter 18 MMC sign code, and I'd ask City Attorney Lell provide some clarification this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just one point of clarification. I believe there was some reference in either the cover memo or some of the materials that were provided by staff to the effect that what is being proposed to you tonight is essentially a reconsideration of a vote that you previously took concerning the city's presently effective interim sign regulations. That actually is incorrect. The time for reconsidering that matter, that original vote has passed. So to the extent that the council chooses to take some action changing your original vote, the effect of that and the procedure for that would be to actually adopt a new ordinance that formally amends your previously adopted interim ordinance. And my understanding is that Mr. Sachs or one of the other members of staff will be presenting regarding the merits of the proposal. But procedurally, what will be before you if you decide to proceed with action on this is not a motion for reconsideration. It would be the adoption of a new interim ordinance that amends your previous interim ordinance. I'd be happy to answer any questions that the council may have.
Mr. Sachs.
Mr. Mayor, Council. So on ordinance 002-2013, council adopted the interim sign code about two and a half weeks ago. What has taken place since then is the change in height in the service commercial area around 522. Mr. Johnson spoke to that earlier tonight. It became problematic. And several council members, the mayor, as well as Speedway Chevrolet, contacted the city, and what the purpose of this presentation tonight was is to bring that back to council for discussion and see if there was any desire to make a change or request staff to draft an ordinance that may modify the 35-foot height that was established by amendment that night. So that's, in essence, what we're up to tonight, and I'd be open to any instruction that council may have.
I think both councilman or council member, Mr. Sachs, Economic Development Manager, Jeff Sachs, and I were not here that night. And had we been, I think that I would have encouraged the council not to make the change that was made. And tonight, asking council to give some thought to an amended ordinance to allow for that 45. I think I understand what some of the concerns were. I think there's been some conversations between members of the public and council members to clarify that. But I wanted council to be sure, because I did have one comment to myself that said that, you know, that not enough public or not enough input was made with regards to this, and so therefore that's why the decision was made. And I want everyone to be clear that we had over 12 meetings on this alone in the Planning Commission, along with over a year's worth of work between the committee, members of the public. So this by no means was taken lightly. We also had one of the very well-recognized consultant on this project who we had hoped, Paul, we were going to be able to give him some recognition for this. What was the award again? Or the recognition? Do you remember?
The award?
Yeah. What was it?
Yeah, I think Tom Beckwith was our consultant, and he did submit the sign code for a Smart Choice Award with the state. Unfortunately, we found that has to be completed and adopted in the year 2012, so we'll be submitting for that next year. It's a governor's program. However, the sign code is going to be submitted to the Washington Chapter of the American Plan Association for a potential award. It is a well-done, pretty innovative, and more importantly, clear and user-friendly, supportive code. So lots of good results will come from this. I might add, Todd was correct in the location of the 45-foot digital sign. That sign is limited to the Highway 522 frontage, just to make note of that.
And I had one conversation where I think that was maybe not as clearly understood. So that's tonight. Was our intention or hope was to clarify it if we could. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thank you. I'm all for making the changes that you're requesting, Mr. Johnson's requesting. A couple of questions I have, though, and maybe have the answers. What other businesses, I'm trying to picture on 522 there from Speedway all the way to Fred Meyer. What other businesses are in that area that could, if we adopt this 45-foot level, put up a higher sign than maybe what's already there?
Paul, fire away.
This 45-foot high sign is limited to the 522 Main Street intersection on properties that abut that intersection.
Okay.
At this time, it would be Dodge.
Dodge dealer and Speedway Chevrolet.
And that's all.
That's all. There's a service commercial, a vacant property in the southwest corner, I believe.
Okay.
But right now we're basically talking about the two car dealers that would be eligible to put up a sign. But it's limited to that intersection.
Okay. So, I'm all for, you'll have to come up with the exact wording in the ordinance. That's my thoughts.
Councilmember Gary.
Thank you. I was in favor of last time. I certainly want to make sure that the concerns of those that voted no last time, I certainly would vote yes again, would help that we would do that. There were some concerns last time, so hopefully we'll be able to hear maybe some thoughts on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Member Williams.
Thank you, Mayor. I don't know who this question is for, whether it's for Jeff or Paul, but the concern that I heard, and when the friendly amendment was passed, there was really no objection to it. So there was not a lot of discussion, but it didn't seem like 10 feet made a world of difference. Clearly for Speedway, just from the standpoint of how they're orientated with the highway, it makes sense. Reardon, the Chevy dealer, though, is a little bit different because they don't really have that same issue. What in the code dictates where they place the sign, or is there anything about the orientation of the sign? You know, because if it's just service commercial along that corridor from the 45-foot sign up anywhere, then they could theoretically stick it, you know, on Frylands Boulevard. So can you just talk to those points?
The sign has to be fronted to and facing 522, and also perpendicular to 522. That's probably the best way to describe that. They couldn't, in the case of Reardon, they couldn't place the sign on their other frontage over on Frylands Boulevard because that's not adjacent to 522. So the sign would actually have to be on the 522 side of their property, perpendicular to the road.
Okay. And I think to the mayor's point, that was not clearly brought out. We discussed this a couple weeks ago. So that was my concern as far as the placement and the orientation of the sign.
And for comparative purposes, the existing Speedway sign is 20 feet tall right now. And if you've driven down 522, you're looking down almost, well, it's hard, but you feel like you're looking down.
Yeah, you notice the building before you notice
the sign. You do. The building's taller than
this. And you don't see the Dodge dealership at all.
So. Not at all.
One more point?
Okay.
Just a quick note, there is a limit to one of these 45-foot digital signs per property. So basically the dealer can each have one, as Jeff described.
Our apologies for not, and I apologize on behalf of staff as well for not making that clear. I thought we had a few weeks earlier some discussion on this with regards to it being a frontage. For frontage purposes only, 522, because I think I remember somebody talking about the Speedway Chevrolet and having that on Main Street, and we talked about, no, it would be behind the building, adjacent to the highway, perpendicular to the highway. So, again, we talked about some of the details, you know, some of the things we can get lost, and I understand that. I apologize for that. So, Councilmember Gamble, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, that was the similar concern, that the stuff that we heard tonight. The orientated piece has to be orientated. And then the other thing I had, because it was more, okay, this is an exception, right? And everywhere else is like, well, why 45? What's the difference? And so when you throw in, I guess the only question I would have is that, because it makes sense to me, grade of road type of thing, but if we're going to use that logic, why wouldn't we're making an exception here, grade of road, properties that abut, right? But at the end of 522, as you dive down into Fred Meyer, I could see it, you know, a case for the, you know, feed store or whatever that if they wanted to market, or, you know, have a billboard or whatever, you know, would that, you know, fall into that? So that would be the only thing, you know, I would say is that we do, are we making an exception just for those two properties because they're more, do we really want to go the route of, you know, grade level? Because that actually makes, that's something that's a policy that can be standardized across the board. Does that make sense? As opposed to just saying, well, it's okay to do 45 feet at this intersection.
The consultant had some thoughts on that, did he not?
It gets more complicated as you start to go to grade. Let's use Reardon and Speedway, for instance. If you look at the road grade, at the south end of both their properties, you're actually at the overpass. So you're about 22 to 25 feet down there. So the signs, theoretically, then, I guess if, say it was 25 feet, that sign might be 60 feet. If you were to allow 35 feet above grade, if they were to place the sign on the southern boundary of their property, where the northern boundary, you have a 10-foot grade. And then you've got the
sorry, who's north? So, Speedway, or
well, on either property. Either property, one sits on the west, one sits on the east. I'm just assuming
closer to Main Street versus away from Main Street.
Let the record show the council member could have backed into
the north end, the sign, if there was a 35-foot above grade, the sign would be about 45 feet. On the south end, the sign would, 35 feet above grade, would be about 60 feet in the air. So it'd be a substantially taller sign. However, you would still achieve that 35-foot grade separation from roadbed to signage. Then you have the inverse situation of Jack in the Box. It's the other elevation in town. There's not too many that are like this, but Jack in the Box sits about 15 feet above the ground out at Frylands and Highway 2. And that sign's probably 25 feet tall.
I think so.
So that sign actually probably sits 40 feet in the air right now. And so are we going to go with an inverse grade conversation? So, in this case, it's a very specific area. We've narrowed it down to the surface commercial, general industrial.
Mixed use
at that intersection. And it's somewhat self-contained in it. It's the best we could come up with during the process.
The feed store, is that the same classification?
No.
I believe that's general commercial.
But it isn't at the intersection of 522 and Main Street.
I get that. What I'm saying is I'm not one to create a policy specifically for a
correct
section. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
You know, prefer that it, because you're going to get the lobbying, you know, across the board. You know, when I create a policy and I roll it out, I try to have it where it, you know, can apply, you know, across the board, have some uniformity. So that's all I'm saying. I like the clarifications that I got tonight because I was not clear when Council and Williams mentioned. So that's all well and good. I'm just saying that, you know, you guys are going to bring something back, correct? Is that over potentially, if we so choose? I personally, if that was to happen, would like to see something in that regard, is all, as opposed to just defining it to one location.
Correct. One thing to consider also, and I know the Planning Commission and consultant staff talked about, was that's a 55-mile-an-hour road, mm-hmm. on 522. So a 55-mile-an-hour sign is substantially bigger sign, mm-hmm. to get the same advertising benefit as a 35-mile-an-hour sign. So mm-hmm. that's part of the reason why that consideration was placed on at that location.
So remind me, it goes from, Chief would know this, goes to 45, doesn't it?
Right,
55,
right after 522.
After 522.
As you're heading towards that, right, goes to 45.
Goes to 45. And it doesn't change the 55 at all. And what was that?
Goes down, you're talking about north?
No, as you're going, I'm sorry, as you're going west on 2.
2.
West on 2.
Yeah. 45.
Doesn't hit 55 until after city limits.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to, again,
sure.
55 miles an hour.
What is that? And then 60.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I just wanted to check with the chief. So isn't the north end of 522, isn't that 25 miles an hour?
Correct.
Okay, so we have a whole different speed limit issue that we have to deal with the signs as we progress down there. I just want to throw that out for fun. I have one question. I appreciate the clarification on the orientation placement, the information I really didn't have before. An example you gave when you first brought this up was the flagpole. And I assumed it was the rear end flagpole.
That's the
same. Yes. And that's 35 feet tall.
I don't think we measured it.
Approximately.
It was a stand for 35 feet away and look up 45 degrees.
I'll take this. I could see that flagpole as I'm coming around 522 heading towards town, so I didn't really see an issue. Is speedway significantly lower than that to require that additional 10 feet? That was one of the points that I just wasn't quite sure.
You know, we talked about going out there with Mylar balloons and running them up, and actually, I can't tell you the answer to that question. The assumption would be that they're about the same grade. The road rate.
Fair enough.
Yes, I can
point out that's what I was using to trace what I was looking for.
You bet. And again, the other example would be the existing speedway sign is 20 feet.
Right.
So.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Williams.
Thank you. I spoke to two of the planning commissioners just to get some more clarification, and one of the things that they brought to me was the objective of seeing the sign before you pass the off-ramp. And so while you could, you know, the case that they made was that, yeah, you can see the flagpole, but sometimes by the time you notice it, it's too late, you can't make the exit. And so, and getting some more clarification as to why 45 feet, that was one of the other explanations that I received.
So tonight would be a motion to direct staff to bring back a amended ordinance?
If it's the council's preference, my understanding is that there is an ordinance that can be added to the agenda if the council wishes to do that tonight. Another option would be to direct staff to come back at a future meeting with an ordinance, and I'd defer to Mr. Sachs as to staff's preference on that.
And what I did is I took the liberty of drafting an ordinance that simply changes in the table the 35 to 45 feet in the two places it exists inside the table format. And I did draft an ordinance, it's a strikeout version, if you'd like to take a look at that and consider that.
Councilor Hamby?
As far as the time, I'm trying to be sensitive to the time frame of Speedway here. Can we go ahead and make the ordinance, or vote on the ordinance, and then say, isn't there 6 months to review that? So between now and that point, we could possibly address the other concerns that Councilor Gamble brought up with maybe amending that and then changing it to address all the highway frontage?
And that's what's unique about this code. It is an interim zoning ordinance. We will be holding the required public hearing. I believe it's scheduled for June 4th. I might be wrong on that, but
that's correct.
June 4th. And so by taking this action, this would be another interim action. So we just enter into that. And during the next 6 months, while this is still interim, we could look at the citywide grade question and see if it's, number one, does it make sense? Do we have rates in town that it would make sense doing? Number two, if so, we could bring language that would support that.
So tonight, if council should desire, your motion would be, or the requested, recommended motion would be to, you tell me.
Well,
we can't see anything.
The action, if you were to take action tonight, would have to waive second reading of this ordinance. You would take first and second tonight and adopt the interim ordinance tonight, and we would follow on with the public hearing on June 4th, and would tag it into the rest of the interim ordinance and proceed from there.
First, we'd need a second to waive the rules and add this to the agenda.
There you go. Thank you.
Councilor Hanford.
So, why can't we just have the first reading tonight and the second reading next week?
And you could do that too.
Yeah, we don't like waiving, right? I don't like waiving. I don't think any of us like waiving. That's why I put it in place. So I'm happy to make the motion as a first reading.
Well, you need to make a motion to waive the rules and add this to the agenda tonight.
Okay. So moved.
Second.
Motion's made by Councilmember Gearing, or excuse me, for Councilmember Hamford, and seconded by Councilmember Gearing to waive the council rules and add this agenda item to, or item to the agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Mr. Mayor, one other clarification, and I just wanted to point this out because I know council likes to see full strikeout redline versions. Quite honestly, you'll see on page one, I'll say page one of 50, and you'll only see page 27 and 28. The reason I didn't include the rest of the strikeout is because it was all strikeout. In essence, it was the full adoption of the ordinance 02-2013. All we're doing is changing those two numbers, so I chose to not print it.
We have a
I'm sorry, just point of order. Do we still have a, do we vote on the way we vote? We did.
Councilmember Ketchum.
Thank you. Jeff, on the area maximum per sign, you know, the square footage,
mm-hmm.
and that's 140?
140.
Okay. I thought I saw on the email.
So, if Todd, if I misquote you, so GM has standards
sure.
for their signs, and typically for a sign at 36 feet, the maximum square footage is just right around 140 square feet.
Okay.
If you go to 45 feet, GM's standard sign is 225 square feet.
Okay.
So at 42 or 47 feet, which is a standard sign package for
sure.
General Motors, they recommend a 225 square foot package.
Okay.
And if you'd like, you could ask Todd to explain that a little bit further. I know he had a conversation with his sign designer today. Because we're 35 feet above grade, we're from the viewing portion, 140 seems to be the correct number. When we went through the Planning Commission, this number was originally 240 square feet.
Okay.
It got dialed back to 180.
It was 180 originally.
Well, it was 240, then we went to 180, and then we went to 140.
Okay.
So prior to the public hearing with the Planning Commission, it was dialed back to 180.
I just don't want Mr. Johnson to be surprised. The square footage is 140 here.
We did have that conversation.
Okay. I just want to make sure because that was the last email.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Wait, on page 27, it's the bottom row where the 45 is replaces the 35. On page 28, it's about six or seven rows up from the bottom.
It's yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Those are the two places.
Councilman Kelly,
sorry. Oh, I just pressed my button again. Thank you. I apologize for being late. I've missed part of the conversation. I didn't think you guys were going to be that quick tonight, but apparently you are. So I've missed the conversation, but as I was the one who made the friendly amendment, I just want to explain my rationale because I will not be voting for the 45-foot sign tonight because it is a blanket 45-foot at these intersections, and that was my biggest concern. Was that on Main Street in Fryland, you could have a 45-foot sign right there, according to this code. Now, I don't think the owners would probably do that, and I did go out to Speedway, and I looked at where Speedway wants to put the sign, and it makes sense. Their sign is right near 522. The grade is a little bit lower than 522.
Can you yield for a question?
Sure.
You may have missed, we discussed the possibility of putting a sign on the Frylands.
Frylands or on Main Street.
Right, and do you want to...
Not allowed.
It's not allowed.
Okay.
I just want to put
the sign has to be oriented towards 522 and perpendicular to that road.
Okay.
And
that's specified in the code?
Yes.
Okay.
So... They can't work, like Reardon or the Dodge dealer there couldn't orient a sign facing 522 perpendicular, but on their property?
Well, it would be on their property perpendicular to the flow of traffic on 522. They couldn't make a parallel, or so you're looking out your window directly at the sign. You would be looking
straight
on at the sign as you're driving.
So basically, on their property, this isn't the 40-foot sign isn't going to be allowed.
It would be allowed on there.
Okay.
They couldn't place the sign over on Frylands Boulevard, and they couldn't place it on Main Street. It would have to be placed adjacent to Highway 522, and the sign would have to be perpendicular to the flow of traffic.
Okay. I'm trying to visualize where that is on their property exactly, because I can't. When I looked and I drove around there, I did not see where their property is close enough to 522 where it would be perpendicular. But you're saying there is a spot on it.
I have not been on their property, but if they can make that work and meet the guidelines within the code, they could do that.
Okay.
Councilmember Williams.
Thank you. Jeff, I just have a question on the square footage. We didn't have any discussion on that last week, but it sounds like what you said is the rationale for lowering it was that a 45-foot sign is really a 35-foot sign. And so why is it less square footage than the other 35-foot signs?
Well, quite honestly, the 140-foot was Planning Commission action. They came upon 100. They didn't feel comfortable with 180 square feet. They scaled it back to the 140. Is that the best description of the problem?
Well, I understand that, but why would the, if the rationale was that a 45-foot sign is allowed because it's really only a 35, the other 35-foot signs that are, you know, freeway facing or highway facing are 150 square feet. Why are these ones less?
I'm just trying to find 100.
If I may,
page 28.
You know, I noticed that not long ago that I realized that the 140-foot number was a kind of a unique number in this code, and that was actually taken by the commission to, they had some hesitation about the 180 being too much, but we did not make the connection back to either match what's allowed in general commercial or perhaps change general commercial signage to 140-foot maximum.
Yeah, and the only reason I bring it up is I'm far from a sign expert, but if there are standard sign packages that, you know, a 35-foot sign is typically a certain size, I want to make sure that we aren't putting something out that's not able to be complied with.
And to clarify on the 150-foot, if you look at the general commercial on page 20 to 50, you're talking about multi-tenant signs there, so that's a slightly different beast.
Oh, gotcha.
The freestanding off-premises multi-tenant, slightly different beast. So, and the signs in this zone in particular are constrained by the total at the bottom. So you see that for a single site, your maximum signage for the entire site is 360 square feet. So that includes a sign on the side of the building, any wayfinding signs, you know, any advertising on their site. You can't exceed that. So if they use the 140, they're limited the rest of the place.
Got it. All right, thank you.
Thanks. If there's no lights, I'll move that council approve the first reading of an ordinance of the city of Monroe related to display signage, adopting interim regulations pursuant to RCW 358-63220 and RCW 3638-90, and Chapter 1880 of the Monroe Municipal Code, adopted by ordinance number 002-2013, with respect to height limitations and certain freestanding limited highway signs, providing for severability and fixing time on the same shall be.
Second.
Okay, motion has been made by Councilmember Geary and seconded by Councilmember Hanford. The official title was read in that motion, so I won't make the attorney do that again. Any other questions for Jeff, Paul, or staff? No? Okay. All right, then all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Thank you. The motion passes. 6-1, the council members head back now. All right. And for your information, our internet is down.
I got that.
Very good. All right, city administrator Rattle.
Thank you, and thanks to my smartphone, I actually have my agenda here. So. I will read from that. The city of Monroe has a ballot measure for criminal justice, and one of the things we do is bring forward pro and con committee members for the council to appoint. We followed the process outlined by Snohomish County, and it's my understanding they followed the state process for appointing and advertising people to the pro and con committee. We have three interested parties for the pro committees. First being Sherry Harris, she's the former deputy chief of Monroe. We have Neil Watkins, the food bank executive director, and we have Todd Johnson, who owner of Speedway Chevrolet. Again, that's for the Pro Committee. And as of 5/2/2013, we have nobody that applied for the Con Committee. So before council this evening, we actually have three motions. A motion to appoint Shara Harris to the Pro Committee. Number two is motion to appoint Neil Watkins to the Pro Committee. And the third motion would be motion to appoint Todd Johnson to the Pro Committee.
City Attorney Lau, can we, if council so chooses, make one motion to appoint all three?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, as long as no one objects.
All right. And as long as nobody objects, we hear that motion. Councilmember Hamburg?
Yeah, I'll make the motion to appoint Sherry Harris to the Pro Committee, Neil Watkins to the Pro Committee, and Todd Johnson to the Pro Committee.
Second. Yes. All right, motion's been made by Councilmember Hamford and seconded by Councilmember Gamble. Any other questions? Okay. All right, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, Councilmember reports. Councilmember Gary.
I have nothing to report this evening.
Councilmember Ketterbeck.
I am doing a race this Saturday, a cycling race. It's the Living the Dream ride in Snohomish. So it's a 36-mile bike ride. I've been training for 2 weeks. I've been out in the group five times. But no, I'm excited about it. It looks like it's going to be a good race. So we come through in row. So.
Councilor Wade.
Yeah, I will be out of town on business May 21st, so I'll take that.
Councilor Hamm.
Nothing.
Councilor Hamm. Are you going to play it?
No, no, I'm not. I'm going to pull up the.
Oh, your calendar.
My calendar.
Yeah.
That's important. I will be out of town on business on the 21st.
All right. Here you go. Well, not very good. Councilor Hamburg.
Yes, I have the privilege of attending Councilmember Camp's son's wedding. And truly a privilege and great to see because we knew the bride. So. It's a good time.
I was surprised to see you like most of you.
Yeah, he didn't know I knew Brad, so it was really beautiful.
And could I add an addendum? He is one of the most talented dancers with the bubbles that I've ever seen.
Strike that from
the demonstration.
I drive by Lake Dye every day, I so look forward to trying out the cable park, and I would love to get some kind of update with maybe Gene when you do the reports, but thank you.
Jeff, anything additional this evening?
Three things. In response to Councilmember Hamford's question, spoke with Principles of Propulsion. That's the new name, two L's in Propol. They are in the Corps of Engineers. It's sitting in a pile, waiting to rise to the top. Their best indicator is they will have a response from the Corps of Engineers end of May. And that is the last step. Then they can pull permits. They hope to be under construction come June and open come end of August, early September. So that's the best we have at this stage.
Thank you.
This Saturday we had a group with the IPZ. So the cities of Snohomish, Sultan, Gold Bar Index, Snohomish County were there. Former Senator Jim Kaskum is the consultant that the group has hired. Pulled us together. We created a vision statement, a mission statement, and some values. They're all in draft format. I was going to send out to all the council members a just a kind of a rundown of what we did. It was really nice. This is the first time that we had private sector businesses involved. We had two tour operators and a gentleman that has a plastic injection molding company in Everett that makes a lot of recreational and everything from kayaks to paddles to pedals for bikes. Also, we had people from Washington Department of Natural Resources and also representatives from Forterra, one of the larger conservation groups, formerly Cascade Lake Conservancy. Forterra is their new moniker. So it was a good group. We're moving forward, and it looks like there's some enthusiasm building for IPZ, and we'll be back at a future date with a little more update on that. Do you want to talk about UGA now, or?
Go ahead and introduce.
So, Paul talked about our comprehensive plan update, and 2015, June 2015 sounds like a long time from now. The planning community started this process about a year and a half ago, and their buildable lands analysis is complete, and Snohomish County Council will be holding a hearing on May 29th that will establish the docket. This is convoluted, and so forgive me, but Snohomish County only does their docket for UGA expansions every 2 years, and they are coordinating that with the 2015 eight-year comprehensive plan update cycle. So in 2015, they will be making that decision. If we wanted to get on board with any opportunities with the city of Monroe, we would have to be on board by May 29th. Gene and I went up and met with Councilmember Summers on Monday. We were approached by Dave Remlinger, who owns a large piece of property in the south west portion of the city. And Dave would like to bring that into the urban growth area. It's now in the RUTA, the Rural Urban Transition. The conversation with Councilmember Summers, I would have to say, is a mixed bag, to say the least. It's going to be an uphill battle if the city of Monroe would like to get the UGA expansion made. And so I think the best approach is to bring this back for a conversation, get a map up on the screen and let you guys look at it, start having a conversation about what it would mean to bring that into the city and the difficulties involved in it. One course of action would be to, at the conclusion of that conversation, get a resolution of desire from the city council that we could forward to the county council as part of their record on May 29th. I'm not saying that will sway the votes to make the decision happen. The buildable lands analysis and the population allocation that is being granted to Snohomish County doesn't leave a whole lot of hope for an urban growth expansion. But if council deems it important enough to the city, and I think staff thinks it's very important that we take a run at this, then we can start to work on the politics behind urban growth expansion and present you with multiple different options that perhaps we could proceed down in order to achieve that goal in 2015. Once again, I just can't reinforce to council to get fully engaged in the comprehensive plan process now. It's 2 years away, the final decision, but there's just so much that has to be done between now and then. And literally, the bus left the station, and it's halfway across the state in eastern Washington right now, moving down the road. So we need to get on board and start paying attention.
Thank you. To that end, it would be great to have the map. I certainly agree with that. The southwest property, make sure we know what we're talking about. Also, just some generic questions about why certain areas are in and not in already. For example, there's a lot of houses up at the golf course, which when you drive up there, you're like, well, why wouldn't these be in the UGA? Some of them are, some of them aren't. How that gets defined. Also, while I was still, and I guess Councilmember Camp is on that board now, but the Snohomish County tomorrow, during one of my last meetings there last fall, they made it pretty clear that it's going to be very difficult to
expand the UGA. And they said it was good in the planning, they just weren't going to do it. I expressed some frustration at the time, knowing that we had some of these things out there. Essentially, there wasn't really a good answer, at least I didn't get one as to why it would be so difficult this time to expand urban growth areas, especially given our, you know, the density. I'm assuming we're going to have still a deficit, if not a bigger deficit, when that report comes out for us. And so why wouldn't we want additional areas in which to fill in, you know, density? But anyway, if we could include that in that discussion, I think that'd be great. You know, why not golf course? Why not Southwest? Why not some of the other areas that we've been talking about, that housing developments that may or may not be a benefit to bring into the city and push for those? But if we have to do it in short order, then so I think we have some people going on the 21st. But I guess the sooner the better. I'm interested in certainly having conversations here and now.
Well, the record request that we would have councils to bring this back next week so that we could take action on it the following week if possible.
I'd certainly be interested in that. Thank you.
All right, we'll do that. Anything else, Jeff?
The last thing, and I don't know if I mentioned Morning Run. So for those of you that don't know, Morning Run is under contract to close on May 26th. It's the largest apartment complex in Monroe. We have a local group of investors that are coming into Monroe right now. It's owned by a real estate investment trust, Essex Corporation, which is a nationwide, very large REIT. But the Coast Equity Partners has come in. It looks like they will close at the end of the month. That's a $26 million transaction. From my perspective, I look at things as 0.005 of the sales price. I know Diane looks at it that way, but that's $130,000 worth of real estate excise tax that nobody anticipated. So when we have large investors coming into our community and purchasing assets, it makes a real difference in all the things that we try to do. And real estate excise tax is that piece of money that we can use for capital investment. It's a good thing. So people outside of Monroe are looking at us way different than the people inside of Monroe. 522 expansion, I can't reinforce enough how much buzz there is out there about what kind of a transportation asset that's going to be. We're going to be literally connected to the Kirkland Redmond corridor. We're going to become an east side city almost. And people are looking at us from a residential component and also from a business component. So perhaps what we will be doing is pulling workers out of King County and coming up here to Snohomish County to work. So that's good.
A little teaser, look out for the Herald Business Journal for next month.
Did you?
Little article or story or commentary on the city of Monroe. So keep an eye out for that. It should be in your box, I think, that's delivered to you.
I haven't sent it out yet.
No. The journal, when it's printed.
The journal.
Will be here. We'll talk about whether you send it out or not. Just kind of keep them on the edge of their seats, everybody. All right, thank you very much, Jeff. You gentlemen, you're here. Anything to report, Scott?
Actually, no. Nothing. Thank you.
All right. Well, welcome. I haven't seen you in a while, so at least at a council meeting, that is. Jim, anything?
Well, the 3 month street, we're hoping to get started the first part of June, now that it's been approved. And aside from that, we're working on a grant to separate some more stormwater from the sewer system. Jacob told me where to apply for it at. It's on Lewis and Main and on Hill Street. We'll see if we can get some money to take care of that.
Great. Good. All right. Well, thank you, and thanks for being here tonight. Jacob?
Yeah, a couple things to update folks on. We just finished replacing an AC water main, surprise, be that every summer or spring season, on North Street. So many of you may not know where North Street is. It's a dead-end cul-de-sac. It parallels Blueberry Lane off Kelsey. And that completes an area right in there. There used to be a main that ran between some houses, frankly, and it served Friendship House and a few other homes in there. We were able to abandon that. That completes the loop line through that area. It's a small improvement, but it's a big improvement from our standpoint, because getting in people's backyards with shovels and saws to fix a water main is not a pleasant nor, I guess, a real good business practice. So we won't be doing that anymore. That main is now abandoned in the ground. Secondly, the life safety lumber, which we lovingly call it out front here, holding up City Hall right now, will start to come down this June or maybe early July. I'm really looking forward to that project. It'll shore up that side of the building, and I think it'll be a big improvement to the looks of City Hall. It's pretty ugly right now, frankly. And then last but not least, we're still in talks with Sky Metal Water Association. Right now, Attorney Melk has a document that he's reviewing, and we'll be bringing that to you on June 4th. And coincidentally, kind of ties into something Jeff brought up earlier, Sky Metal Water Association service area includes that portion of the, what did you call that, the RUBA?
RUBA.
Yeah, the RUBA that is the area that's in discussion. So I think that's it.
All right, thank you. Diane?
At the last council meeting, council asked us to go back to the public services and asked if they would give us a bigger credit, a $5,000 credit offered for the labor issues that they experienced, and they said no. They feel they're losing enough money as it is, and they thought they were being super generous by giving us the $5,000 credit. So they said no.
Overall, Diane, how did what were the numbers? Did you get numbers?
5 complaints out of close to $5,000
a complaint.
Not that good. And the next week, when they did the, everyone could put out doubles without being charged. Everyone, well, not everyone, a lot of people took advantage of that and put out more than doubles. But they just looked the other way and picked it all up.
Yeah, I noticed that a few areas of town.
Yeah, there was
some. Yeah, some people really took advantage of that.
Councilmember Fedeback.
Oh, thank you. I forgot to mention in my report, Vince came to Rotary last week and did a talk on stormwater, and it was excellent. He did a great job. It was educational, entertaining, and I would get him out doing that around town because it really, you know, it was a great talk. He did a great job, so I just want to make sure people did that.
Thank you. Passing along.
Yeah.
Councilmember Williams.
Yeah, could we add something to the agenda for next week to talk about what our options are with Allied Waste on that? I mean, I don't know what the next steps are, but the gentleman that spoke, I completely agree with his statement that it's not our job to support their strike, and I kind of feel that that's what they're hoping we do. Frankly, to hear that it costs them money doesn't concern me one bit, because it costs our citizen service that they contractually obligated themselves to do. So I'd like to see it on the agenda, and we can discuss options for, you know, and maybe bring some feedback as far as with our contract, what it says our recourse is.
All right.
Are you meaning like liquidated damages? Is that what you're talking about?
I just would like to know what our options are, what we're allowed to do.
So we'll review the contract then.
Was it second?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. That is our only recourse, yes. Liquidated damages. But I'll be happy to bring the contract.
Councilman Henry.
Yes, I forgot on Councilman reports. Also, the cleanup Monroe Day, I guess you call it, on Saturday was great. Only made 2 trips this year. Helping out neighbors and so forth. But I appreciated your email with Gene about the people not, you know, the issue of proving citizenship. But I called Gene because the first time I went, the ladies, the staff just waved me on through, and I just drove on through. And the second time, I mentioned to them that, you know, I've spoken with Gene, and, you know, you're supposed to be looking for this, you know, flyer to make sure we're residents. And while I so appreciate staff, frankly, the feedback that I felt that I got from the people directing traffic was that, you know, we're just there's not really that much we can do, so we'd rather you just, you know, drive on through it. And I thought we'd address this last year because of the cost to the city of non-residents going through. And so when I went through the second time and talked to them about that, I didn't get the sense that they knew that they were the gate for the dump and to keep non-residents out. So I bring that up because of your email and then just because of the concern. If we're only talking about, you know, $100 or so because of non-residents dumping, you know, maybe this isn't a huge issue, but in my mind, if we're going to do this, the city staff should be paid to be there on the weekend to take care of, not volunteer, and know that they're the gate. And whether that's having, you know, someone else from staff there or even an officer, I don't know how that looks, but frankly was pretty shocked at how it all went after we talked about this at length last year, I thought. But so
City Administrator Brother.
Yeah, thank you for your comments, and we have heard those. We did have a discussion prior to, I know Diane met with her staff prior to the event, and staff did not, in some cases, ask for ID. They felt overwhelmed by the amount of people, and by volunteer, what I mean is that we don't pay them. They get comp time, so they essentially trade time out, but we don't, you know, give them overtime, essentially, is what I meant by that. But we're pretty confident next year we're going to change some things around. It may mean putting comp time aside and paying overtime, but we will handle it. The other thing that we kind of talked about is how to handle angry citizens. We had a few people we turned back that didn't have proof, but we need to put a mechanism in place to be able to call 911 to handle those type of situations, because we don't want to put our staff in harm's way. When you got a line of people and somebody with a pickup truck full of garbage, we need to be able to handle it. The other thing that we had talked about at staff level is how do you even identify that it's City of Monroe garbage? You know, a lot of citizens, it's basically based on trust, because a lot of citizens may call their neighbors or their relatives and say, hey, we got cleanup in Monroe, bring your stuff out to Granny's place and we're going to bring it up. That could happen, and you kind of got to take the good with the bad, but we did hear your concerns. We have talked about it, and we'll do a better job next year.
Thank you.
Chief?
Well, we are in our second week of trial on the Jamie Pendle case that occurred 2 years ago. If the homicide trial can go well, this is going well, I guess. And I spent 4 hours there today, and our officers testified, done an excellent job. That's been a comment from not only the prosecuting attorneys, but even from the judge. So very proud of them. And that's all I have.
Paul?
Now, keep on last, I'll be quick.
I was going to say, because you've got a lot on your plate right now, so we'll...
As an aside, a council member of Cutterback, my daughter-in-law is the Seattle Office of American Diabetes Development Director, and I will be volunteering on an 18-hour day on Saturday for the Tour de Cure. And we may have some mixing up of Tour de Cure. But some good news. We did fill the... our planning staff, Melissa Sartoria, started about 2 weeks ago, has worked out extremely well. We're very proud to have her and happy to have her here. And so if you're around City Hall, I'll come back and say hello. And I'll bring her to a council meeting sometime soon and introduce her. We're very happy to get her here.
All right. Thank you. And along the lines of cures, the first council member, Kevin Mack.
Sorry. Just wondered if we had an update on the Walmart case. Was that for through, did go to the appeal court on the 29th, and are we going to, didn't know if we had an update on that, what the timeline was.
I'd be happy to do that here, or since it's a litigation matter, I can brief the council on executive session if you prefer.
Great. Thank you.
Well, along the lines of CURE, we have an event here in Monroe each year called the Relay for Life, and I'm not walking. no, I don't have enough energy for that. But I do understand that the goal of $200,000 is getting closer and closer to being reached. And as a senator to staff and helping to get them encouraged about supporting this and developing or raising those funds, I have offered my hair.
And so what hair?
I know. Well, what little hair I have left will be shaved if they do reach the $200,000 goal, and I believe that they're at one. Anybody have the total? I heard it was up there.
I think it was $199.99.
Yeah, something like that. I think regardless of what it is, it'll be $200,000.
It'll end up in $200,000.
This will be a public event.
This will be a public event, yeah. We'll be doing it right on the field there. So, on the baseball front, for those of you who love baseball, Councilmember Williams, sorry to report that the Monroe Bearcats lost their game this evening. Unfortunately, 5-1, and so they are no longer in the running for state. But it was a fantastic year, and of the games that I was able to catch, these boys put a lot of effort and heart into it. And overall, I think they should be and can be very proud. Speaking of students, I did want to mention that city or student representative Ron Hirano had emailed me very apologetic about the fact that he has missed a few meetings here recently. Wanted to assure me that he it was not intentional in the sense that he was not neglecting his responsibilities, but he is a student and he is a lacrosse player, and so they have had many games on Tuesday nights. And so I assured him that while his presence was missed, that there was no offense taken, that we look forward to his return. Tonight was his last game, and so to be back, I hope that everyone understands that he has put a lot of effort into trying to promote what council has talked about at, within the school district and student body. And I hear from a number of students about what's going on, because Student Representative Morano is communicating that to others. So, so with that said, just wanted to let everybody know why, and he is anticipated to be back here next week. So, appreciate that. So, with that, last but not least, City Administrator Bradley.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to make Council aware of an invite that we received from the Monroe School District. They're working on their capital facilities plan, and they've set up a couple of committees. And I just want to extend that offer to members of the Council. If some of you want to join that, let me know, and I can get you the information and pass that on. They also extended that invitation to staff as well. I will be out of the office all next week out of the country, so you guys have to go without me. So I wish I could say I didn't think of you, but
I won't say it. If I may, I'm sorry, one last thing. Do you recall the awards ceremony this Thursday?
This Thursday.
Yeah.
The city is Chamber Night.
Chamber Night, and the city is being recognized for its efforts in completing the Miracle League field bathrooms. I will be in attendance. That's Thursday.
6:30.
Council is invited. We'll have to get out some really quick notice if more than four of you would like to attend.
Where is it? Sorry.
It's at the high school. 6:30. And it's the change. What's that?
Oh, I was just saying the Performing Arts Center.
Yeah, Performing Arts Center. So.
We'll be 10.
Okay.
You will too.
All right.
So I have a confidence in that, so I will not.
Type B. I'm not sure.
Yes.
Don't think we have four then.
So we have three that will be there?
Yeah. Who's the three?
Possibly.
Kedavec. Can't. Hanford.
I'll go and practice.
Okay.
That way we won't have to put out a notification. So you better go. Only three. All right.
No notice. All right.
Okay. Draft agenda for May 14th, 2013. And action items, announcements and presentations. Number one, proclamation of the Forest Week, public hearing, Valley View Sewer LID. The consent agenda, we have the interlocal agreement for the North Sound Metro Special Weapons and Tactics Crisis Negotiation Team. New business, we have the ordinance extending the marijuana related land use interim regulations. Added the UGA expansion discussion. We've added the allied waste options discussion. Under final action, we have the resolution approving Rose Lane Estates, Dennis Edition plat. And we've added the sign ordinance. Second reading. Thank you. Under study session topics, number one, economic development goals. Number two, discuss comprehensive plan amendments, natural environment. Number three, department reports and the draft agenda for May 21st, 2013. Additions or deletions?
Yes.
That's my average.
Yes, I think Diane was going to bring information about the allied
human.
Yeah. Is that already out?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we do have the need for an executive session this evening, and I'll have the city attorney describe that and provide the RCWs behind that. City Attorney Lowe.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Pursuant to RC 4230110-19, the council will now convene an executive session for the purpose of discussing potential litigation with legal counsel. The executive session will last approximately 15 minutes, after which the council is not anticipated to take action in open session except to adjourn the meeting.
All right, thank you. With that said, we will go into executive session at this time. And staff, have a good night. Good night, guys. Oh, yeah. All right, so we're back in session. Councilmember Williams.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion to made by Councilmember Williams, seconded by Councilmember Hanford. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
I have an accident next Thursday, that's why.
Oh, I see you next year.
No, not next year.
I'm sure he's better than
me. Yes,
I will. I'm
jealous of you.
Yeah.
You can press after. That's